Your next speaker will be Larry Fife.
Of the many things that Jesus suffered during His earthly ministry, one was the indignity of Peter's denial. Three times Peter denies Jesus Christ, or rather denies knowing who Jesus Christ is. Even after being around through most of the ministry with Jesus Christ, we see that Peter vehemently denies the fact that he even knows who Jesus is. Can you imagine being with a person for so many years, knowing that they're following you and learning to do the will of which you're teaching them, only to find out later that they're going to deny ever knowing you? But Jesus Himself told Peter that He would deny him. And Peter denied this vehemently, that he would ever deny his Lord and Savior. But how is it that Peter came to deny Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? How could somebody who had followed Peter, who had stood up for, or rather who had followed Christ, who had stood up for Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, who was willing to put his life on the line at that very moment, how could he get to the point that he denied Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who had came to die on the cross for Peter? How did he ever get to a point? And can we ourselves ever get to that point? Can we follow Christ most of our lives, or even perhaps all of our lives, to come to the end, to stray completely away from God, and to deny Jesus altogether? We certainly pray that that's something that will never happen to us, but one of the things we have to remember is that it's a certain, or rather it is a possibility for us to do so. When you think about what Peter did, and the type of individual that Peter was, we have to see that Peter made many mistakes throughout his life, but one of the things that we see that really inspires us about Peter is that he's going to be the apostle through all the adversity and through all the things that he did during his time on this earth. As he stood up in Acts chapter 2 to proclaim that first gospel sermon, we see that he went through all those things and Christ understood exactly what Peter was going to do. That Peter was going to be that strong disciple, that apostle who would still go about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and who would later warn those of the same mistakes that he did in the two epistles that he's going to record for the Bible. But from Peter's denial of Jesus, there are important lessons that we can glean from the Bible. Indeed, Peter himself can help us to avoid making the same mistakes so that once we go through our life, no matter when we might stumble, that we will ourselves not deny Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But you see, even though Peter avoided making these mistakes, he later records for us the dangers in trying to avoid the same mistakes that he made. That is, he's trying to record for us and help us to understand that even though he made these mistakes, he doesn't want that to be the case for us. For example, we first note in the Bible that Peter was first betrayed by pride. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride was certainly something that brought Peter down because he was unwilling to swallow his pride. Proudly he proclaimed that even if all had left Jesus, that Peter was never going to do that. Listen to what the Bible records for us in Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 33. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I have risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. Peter answered and said unto them, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Now here Peter says, Lord, it doesn't matter what all these other men do. I'm going to be nothing like them. That is, I'm better than they are. But was Peter really better than any other man that was present that day? Was there anything special about Peter that would help him avoid from falling or even denying those just like Peter was going to deny later? We can also be overconfident in our service to God. That is to say, I'm too good, or I was raised too well by my parents, and I can never fall short of God's glory, nor could I ever fall short of God's grace. But the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And we know that when we fall short of that glory, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. But the Bible is very prevalent in telling us and helping us to understand that we can fall short of God's glory no matter how faithful we might be. That there can be that one thing that tempts us to turn our back on God. To say that I'm too good is to also sin against God. But Peter is going to later command humility in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Peter tells us that we need to be clothed with humility. Here's a man who had learned a great lesson. And he understood that he needed to pass on that lesson through the inspiration of God, that he gave that insight to help us to better understand that humility is the only way for us to get into heaven. Jesus Christ Himself said, "Blessed are those who are humble, those who are meek. Those are the ones that shall inherit the kingdom of God." Peter is yet stressing the same point that Christ talked about. And Christ wanted Peter to understand what it meant to truly be humble in the presence of God. To be humble ourselves before God, Peter is going to record for us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. But Peter learned the hard way about the danger of pride. And he learned because of that pride, it knocked him to his knees. And because of that pride, he denied Jesus Christ as the one true living God, the one who dwelt in the flesh among us, the one who came to die on the cross of Calvary for us. But we also learn from the mistake of Peter and the value of the importance of humility. But next we notice that Peter was besieged by laziness. You mean to tell me that laziness can cause me to fall short of the glory of God? Absolutely it can. That is, because of our laziness, perhaps we choose not to serve God. But one of the things we notice is that Peter kept falling asleep when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. We notice that Jesus simply asked his disciples to stand watch for them. To stand watch for him as he would go and pray, as he can spend some time in prayer to his Heavenly Father. And at a time when he was needing to be watchful, as recorded for us in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, his laziness, therefore, led to a lack of preparation. Peter was not prepared to stand watch for Jesus. The same thing certainly can happen to us if we're not careful. The Bible tells us that laziness is sinful. Without diligent preparation, we too can become unprepared. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we're prepared for heaven. That our laziness doesn't cause us to fall short of God's glory. And more often than not, we gradually drift away from God's grace because we are too lazy to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But Peter is going to later enjoin diligence in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, commanding diligent resistance against the devil. He said, besides this, giving all diligence, he tells us to add those Christian graces so that we can make sure that we're not lazy, but that we're also prepared for when God comes again. He calls for diligence that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and following. That we be found in peace without spot or without blemish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. So the question is, do we allow, as we see recorded for us, simple laziness to keep that careful preparation that we should have? Do we allow that laziness to draw us away, to fall away from God because we're simply too lazy to get up and work for the cause of Christ? Do we fail to attend services or study God's Word because we're too lazy? Do we not want to get up on Sunday morning because the bed is simply too comfortable and I really don't want to get up right now? But aren't you glad that Christ was not lazy the day that He went to the cross to die for us? For our sins to bear the burdens of the world? Are we too lazy to even pray to God when we need His help? Are we too lazy to pray to God when we're blessing our meal or when we're out in public? Are we too lazy or are we too ashamed? If so, how can we stand up for Jesus? We often sing the hymn, stand up for Jesus. How can we, though, avoid the same things that Peter went through? How can we stand up for Jesus as the text tells us that we need to do? But as we continue to observe the faults of Peter that we can learn from the Apostle Peter, Peter was also beset by cowardice. He followed Jesus at a distance. You see, Peter still followed Jesus, but it wasn't standing next to his side. That is, he was a coward because he was afraid that he might be associated with Christ. Perhaps that he would be persecuted with Christ. That he would even go to the cross with Christ. But now that Jesus was no longer popular, he stays far enough so that he's not going to be identified with him. You see, Christ isn't popular today in our society. As a matter of fact, being a Christian is very unpopular. Peter was unprepared to face the challenge and ridicule of persecution. Peter didn't understand what Jesus said when he said, "If you want to follow me, to pick up your cross." Jesus said that Christians would be persecuted for his name's sake. But later, you know, Peter would go on to say that he counted it worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. So certainly Peter learned a valuable lesson here. But might we be guilty of trying to follow Jesus with cowardice? Might we be guilty of following Jesus at a great distance because we don't want to be seen of Christ? Are we ashamed to be seen of carrying our Bible? Are we ashamed to be seen of giving thanks when we're out at public, eating at a public restaurant? Are we ashamed to be seen with other Christians? Because people will say, "Well, isn't he a Christian? Why are you associating with him?" Jesus even told those that there would be those who would want to be seen of men rather than to be seen of God. Those individuals, the Pharisees, Jesus would call hypocrites. Do we want to be a hypocrite where we're found faithful? Perhaps on Sunday morning people look at us and say, "Oh, he's such a great example," or, "She's somebody that I emulate or want to look up to." But then when we get out in public, we want nothing to have or anything to do with Jesus. You see, that type of attitude, that type of mentality is what is called a coward. Peter was a coward because he chose to follow Jesus at a distance rather than standing up for Christ and His cause. But Peter is later going to exhort us to glorify God. That is, Peter could look back on the mistakes that he had made during his life, and he understood that he had made a mistake. But Peter charges us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 to not to be ashamed, but rather to glorify God in everything that we do. And certainly there are going to be times when it's not popular to be a Christian. There are going to be times when people persecute us simply for bearing the title of Christ. You know, I was blessed to serve in the military for 8 years. And I can remember the day I stood on the parade deck, the day that I earned the title of Marine, that I was proud that I had spent 3 long months earning that title. I'd done everything required of me. I'd passed all the physical fitness tests, all the mental tests, all the things that I needed to do to become a United States Marine. And as I stood there as the commanding general called us Marines for the first time, I knew that I would always be a Marine because I had earned that title of Marine. But you know, I bear a title that I'm more proud of today. It's a title that I did not earn, and certainly it's a title that I do not deserve, and that's the title of Christian. That is, Jesus Christ went to the cross that I might bear that title, and certainly I should never be ashamed to wear the title of Christian. One of the things we were told when I was in the military was that we were Marines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everywhere we went, we represented the United States Marine Corps. And even after you would get out, they tell you, once a Marine, always a Marine. And I'm still very proud of that title. But you know, the same thing applies to us as Christians. No matter where we go, who we visit with, who we see, wherever we go, we always carry the title of Christian. Certainly something that we should be very proud of, something that we should not be ashamed of, and something that we carry with us for the rest of our life. We have to choose to make sure that we honor the name of Christian, that we respect the name that was given to us because of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, that we're never ashamed of it, that we're never cowards because we wear or bear the title of Christian. Yes, you're going to be persecuted. Yes, you're going to be made fun of. But do those things really matter when it comes down to it on the day of judgment? Are those things going to keep you out of heaven because you were simply afraid or ashamed or a coward to stand up and say, "Yes, I too am a Christian, just like these others that I'm with," and we bear that cross, that is, we take up our cross daily, that we make those living sacrifices because we choose and we want to wear the name of Christian? Many of you wear different titles, whether it's mother, father, whatever the case is, whatever your job is. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you're to be Christ-like, and you're never to be ashamed of that title. But even when Peter followed Jesus at a distance, he later understands that being a coward is going to keep you out of heaven. With cowardice keeping him at a distance from his Lord, Peter was a prime candidate for succumbing to what was next. And that is, Peter was later overtaken by worldliness. He was influenced by the world. This often happens to us, doesn't it? We're easily influenced by the world today. But when he was sitting with the servants of the high priest and warming himself by the fire, as we read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 58, we understand there we're going to see the denials become prevalent. But as he's overtaken by the ways of the world, as those individuals were trying to call him out as being a follower of Jesus Christ, we notice that he begins to enjoy the warmth of the fire. That's where he wants to be. Rather than being in the cold with Christ, he chooses to warm himself with the world. And one of the things that we have to remember and that we must take into consideration is this. If we choose to warm ourselves by the fire of the world, eventually we're going to get burned by the world. You see, Peter was eventually burned by the world because he chose to serve the world at that point rather than to serve and to stand up for God. And sometimes we too can, oftentimes we can fall away from God because we choose to go by the ways of the world. That is, many times those ways of the world are a lot easier to follow. But doesn't Jesus tell us of this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? He said, "Broad is the gate and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." But what? "Narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto eternal life, and few there be that find it." That is, many are going to choose the ways of the world because it's easy. There's nothing that we have to do. We can simply succumb to the temptations, to the guiles of the devil, that we can follow his ways rather than following the ways of God, because that's the easy way to choose. But we also understand in our secular lives, perhaps if you've gone to college or earned a degree, or perhaps you worked hard at a particular certification in your job, you understand that hard work has gotten you to that point, and you appreciate it that much more. Of course, we don't earn our way into heaven. We don't merit salvation. It's given to us by the grace of God, that God reaches at Christ's expense, that grace reaches to us through our obedience by faith. Yes, we are saved by grace through obedience by faith, and it's our duty in wanting to receive that salvation, in wanting to receive the great blessing, the gift that God has given us, that we have to make sure that we follow the will of God, and that will requires us to work for the kingdom of God. Not that we're working our way into heaven, but that we're required to be obedient to the entire commandments of God, but that we don't choose to be cowards, and that we don't choose to succumb to the ways of the world, but that we choose to work as God would have us to work. That doesn't mean that occasionally we might become lazy or lax in our physical preparation for heaven. Sometimes we're going to fall, and sometimes we're going to slip, and sometimes we're going to make mistakes. God fully understands that. But what we have to realize is this. If we choose to warm ourselves by the fire of the world, eventually we're going to get burned, and that scar is going to be there forever. Yes, God is going to forgive us of our sins if we ask forgiveness of those sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we repent of them. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. That is, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But if we choose to stay in the world, if we choose to follow the ways of the devil, rather than following the ways of God, we're eventually going to get burned. We can hide those sins for a short while, but eventually those sins are going to come to light. Peter chose to follow the ways of the world. He chose to follow Christ at a distance because he didn't want to be seen of those men. You see, we also need to make sure that we don't want to be seen of men, that we want to be seen of Christ. Peter chose to be seen of men at that moment. Even though he denied Christ vehemently three times, later he's going to tell Jesus exactly how much he loved him, as Christ is going to ask him three times. That is, to follow suit with the three times that Peter denied Jesus Christ. We have to make sure in our daily walks of life that with whatever we do, with wherever we go, and however we conduct ourselves in this secular world today, that we have to make sure that our actions do not speak volumes for our denial of Christ. You see, simply by the actions in which we live our life today, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we talk, the way we show our body language about and around individual people can show that we're not living for Christ, but rather that we're living for the devil himself. And we don't want to be like Peter in that moment of weakness, where he chose to deny Christ. And there's not a person today that can say, "I'm never going to deny Christ." You see, we can't be certain of that because sometimes there are things that overcome us and overtake us with temptation. And we cannot blame those things on God because God does not tempt us, James 1:13-15. But if we choose to allow the world to creep into our lives, then we too are going to be like Peter, allowing ourselves to be warmed. When we've been out in the cold as Christians sometimes, doing those things that God would have us to do, even when they're unpopular. But later Peter himself would say that he suffered for the cause of Christ, that he counted it a glory, an honor, to suffer for Christ, even when it was unpopular. And we know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that it is not popular to be a child of God today. In many cases, the world deplores what Christians stand for. In many cases, the world says, you know what, don't listen to God. You can do your own thing. It's that me first mentality. But is that what God wants it to do? You see, Peter later called for us to be apart from the world. That is, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. To live as sojourners, to live as pilgrims in this world. We sing the hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My pleasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." That should be our mentality as Christians. But we need to look for the new heavens, the new earth, to be diligent, to be found in Christ, to have that peace that passes all understanding, to be without spot, to be blameless, to have no blemish whatsoever. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. You see, when Peter is going to conclude his second epistle, he did so with a warning. A great warning, because Peter understood the mistakes that he had made in his life. To beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. And he said to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 verse 18. These admonitions come from one who was well qualified to speak on these very mistakes, because he knew how easy it was to fall through such things as pride, as laziness, as cowardice, as worldliness. All these things took him away from following Christ, from standing next to Jesus that time that he denied him three times to the world because he was ashamed to be seen with him. But we also know that if we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, such things as humility and diligence and glory to God and living as strangers and pilgrims in this world will help us to understand that we can serve God even though it's not popular. And even though the world might not want us to do those things, that we choose not to follow Christ at a distance, but that we choose to sit at His feet at the cross of Calvary. We have to make sure that we understand this, that we don't fall to the wiles of the devil. Yes, we know that Peter, though he denied Jesus Christ three times, that he went out and he wept bitterly. If you've ever denied Jesus in your life, you understand that this is a real possibility. But that we also understand that godly sorrow leads to repentance. And sometimes it's going to knock us to our knees, weeping bitterly, knowing that we've denied Christ, that we've denied that cause. But we also understand that we've received the grace when we've been forgiven by Jesus, when we've been permitted to fulfill His role in serving Him faithfully. And Peter would later come to understand what it means to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, to serve Him faithfully, knowing that even though he denied Him, he could continue on after that because he was the one that was chosen, just like the other apostles were, to follow Jesus. Those are the things that we need to remember and understand. And if we've been guilty of letting our Lord down, to look at Him for the grace to repent and to grow in that knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can understand that there's no greater gift of love that God gives to us, knowing that we can be forgiven. You too have to make the choice today. If you're following Christ at a distance, let me ask you, what are you ashamed of? Why is it that you aren't willing to serve God faithfully, to stand next to Him? What is causing you to be ashamed? If it's peers or if it's friends, if it's people at work, then perhaps you need to choose a new line of profession. Maybe you need to choose separate friends. If it's your family that are causing you to be ashamed of Christ, those are the ones that are not going to answer for you on the Day of Judgment. You yourself are going to stand in the Day of Judgment, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things that we have done in this world. And we have to understand that your family isn't going to be standing with you saying, "Well, we're the ones who caused him to deny you, Lord. We're the ones who did this." We have to choose this day whom we're going to serve, as Joshua talks about in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. So today you have to choose who you're going to serve. Is it going to be Christ? Are you too ashamed of Him? Are you too ashamed to be seen with other Christians in public? Are you too ashamed to be seen carrying your Bible in public because they're going to identify you as one of those Christ followers? Are you simply ready to stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and I'm not ashamed of it? Can we too say, like Peter later said in the book of Acts, that I count it worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ? Today, do you count it worthy to suffer for His cause, or are you still following Him at a distance? If you're following Him at that distance, let me encourage you today to come back to Him if you're a child of God, to reach out, to ask God for help, to go to Him in prayer, asking for forgiveness of whatever you've done to lead you astray. Don't be ashamed of the one who went to the cross and who wasn't ashamed of you. Jesus certainly could have been ashamed of us. Listen to what the Hebrew writer records for us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Endured the cross, despising the shame that we caused, the pain that we caused Him to go through on that cruel cross of Calvary, on that faithful day that He died for you and me. God commended His love towards you and I when we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8, knowing that God was not ashamed, that Christ was not ashamed to bear the sins of the world for you and I. So today, make the choice to follow Him. Perhaps you're not a child of God and you haven't put on Christ in baptism. I encourage you to no longer be ashamed of Him today. You've heard the gospel. I pray that you believe the gospel and that you're ready to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3 says, if you do not repent, you're going to perish. Are you ready to confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God? Jesus said, if you'll confess Him before men, He'll confess you before His Father which is in heaven. But if you deny Him, He's also going to deny you. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. And finally, you're ready to be baptized in water to have all your sins washed away. Make that choice today. Don't be ashamed of the One who died for you on the cross of Calvary, who wiped all those sins away. I pray that you make that choice today, that you choose to no longer be ashamed, to follow Christ, to live for Him, and to know that one day we get to be with Him in glory.